her mouth. She wants to ride it, she's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever, she's too excited. Her man look like he wanna fight. He ain't doing nothing but running his mouth. Talk about it, we all about it. They making plans, we sit and count. Our chair is stacking just like a mountain. You heard about it, she running her mouth. She
I'm starting to think I misplayed this. So my car is in the shop, which is hilarious because I literally just paid it off. Like, that's the thing that happens, right? The minute you pay off a vehicle, a boat,
your cell phone,
house, your phone, whatever it is, that's when it decides to take a big old dump. So my Tahoe is in the shop. Yesterday I dropped it off as soon as I was done with the show. They said it's going to take 2 days to repair. It's got an electrical issue. So I got like a lot of lights flashing in different places. Backup cam. What are those lights that go off in your mirrors?
Side views?
Yeah, those. Those side view mirror.
Like the sensor to tell you someone's there.
Correct. To tell you someone's in your blind spot. Yeah. So those are flashing constantly, even when there's no one there. So I was like, let's just get it in. Get it taken care of. So this morning, I said, I'll take an Uber to work because I don't want to take the car from Chase. Dario's got stuff he needs to do this morning. We have an air check after our show, and then I have a sales meeting at 11. So if I had my car, who cares? It sits in the structure until I'm done at noon-ish, whatever. But taking someone else's car, you know, and then leaving them incapacitated, I didn't want to do that. So I was like, I'll just take an Uber. Easy peasy. So I ordered the Uber last night. Did the old reserve on the Uber. Supposed to pick me up at 6:15 this morning. At 6:06, I get a phone call. It's not Gabe Neitzel calling for a pre-show meeting. And the gentleman says, do you still need the ride? Yes, I do. Aren't you on your way here? You know, we're about 9 minutes away from liftoff. He says, okay, I'm on my way. So 2 minutes later, I get a notification saying that the ride has been completed.
Huh?
I haven't even been scheduled picked up yet. So I immediately reach out to Uber to no avail. But the next priority was, you know what?
Trying to get here.
Getting another ride. So I thought about it. I was like, should I go wake up Chase? Should I ask my kid to drive me to work and then him take his car and then drive to school? No, like, I don't want to involve more people. Let's just get this thing figured out and we can handle Uber later. So I order another Uber. Great guy gets there, 6:25, no problem. He's a great guy. But I'm contacting Uber the whole drive in, like, hey, they charged me the $47, you guys. They charged me the $47 for the ride from Mequon to the 3rd Street Market that never occurred. So I'm like, so I immediately, you know, error or what do you call it?
Dispute?
Dispute. Boom. Thank you. Brain's not really firing.
But to say, she's just so flustered. Can't even come up with simple words.
So flustered.
Got your back.
Dispute. So I dispute it and I say, can you please take a look at this ride? It never occurred. Driver never showed up. And the ride was completed, quote unquote, before I was even supposed to be picked up. 6:11, 6:15. They write back to me something along the lines of, I should just read it to you guys, but I don't have it in front of me. Oh, yes, I do. We're sorry to hear about the difficulty with the price of this trip. We can confirm you were charged $47, which matches the estimated price range shown to you before you requested the trip. As a result, no changes will be made. Thank you for understanding. Chewy, what should I do here?
Sue him.
Okay. Small
claims court. Well, number
one, sue Uber.
It is poor negotiating on your behalf. I'm sorry. Just poor. Do you pay for Chase's car?
Paid, yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I was about to say, there's a lesson to be learned here, and it has nothing to do with Uber.
All right, kids are on scholarship, and the thing you want to do is get them off a scholarship as soon as you can, and that'll sometimes run till they're 30. You pay for the car, Chase. I don't want to have to pull rank, but you can either let me use your car for the day, or you can wake up, drive me to work, and then go back home and have your car. I'm sorry. That's Gabe.
Yeah.
Price of doing biz.
Chewy, I've got your back on this one. This is 100% the lesson to be learned here. Yeah, you could have inconvenienced your kid, but, I mean, isn't that what he's there for?
To be inconvenienced?
This is winter workouts. You know what? You sign a contract with BC to play football there. Winter workouts are at 5 a.m. You show up. This is winter workouts.
So this would be, it would have been like a tradesies. So for all of the things that I have done for my son, the least he could do for me was to wake up. And again, I didn't even ask. So it's not like he refused. Be a whole nother issue. Mm-hmm. I didn't even ask. I didn't say, hey, can you wake up a little early this morning? Or he, I guess he could have taken the bus again, but that's a whole nother
thing. Send him on the bus.
That's a whole
Send him on the bus.
Get back on the bus after you just got your license within the last couple
of weeks.
That's
tough. This is what families do. Families got to have each other's backs. And guess what? If he wants that car to continue to be paid for, mom's got to get to work.
So I misplayed it then. Sounds like general consensus is I misplayed the situation this morning.
Yeah, yeah. Now you got this headache with Uber.
I know. Maybe I could have Chase handle the Uber thing. Maybe that's the trade-off.
It's not his money. You think he's going to care?
Does your gut tell you that the Uber guy is a crook and he tried slipping one past you here?
So, great question. Love that because I was wrestling with that this morning. I don't think this guy left his house. I can see the map of where he was and where the ride allegedly started and where it ended. And it's about 50 feet. I think he got up and was like, I don't want to do this. And he walked to the other end of his home and he hit close ride or ride completed. So that was the one thing. And by the way, again, it says that it was completed at 6:11. This ride was done at 6:11 a.m.
When was it scheduled for?
My scheduled pickup was 6:15.
Huh. It's impressive. Right. I mean, if he was actually that fast, even you would be impressed with
Correct.
That speed.
Probably a huge tip for like, wow. I mean, I go quick. I go fast. You went way faster than I did.
Maybe it was a DeLorean.
Yeah, exactly. So just so you know, I am disputing it with Uber currently. But since that initial message from Uber, they've gone radio silent. I wrote back, hello. I was never picked up. The driver never picked me up. This ride never happened. And according to my receipt, the driver never left Santa Monica Boulevard in Glendale. That's where it says he was. And then I sent the receipts and I sent the ride and I sent all of the information. As you can see from the timestamp, this receipt was issued before the ride was even supposed to start. And then I sent a screen grab of the gentleman who called me this morning. The driver also called me at 6:06 a.m. to confirm the ride and the pickup location and then never showed up. I had to request another ride to get to work this a.m. Please check the record of this trip.
Did they somehow just think you were disputing the cost of the ride?
Maybe.
Because the way that everything is worded in their initial response made it seem like they were thinking that you were, hey, this is way more than what it should have been. And obviously it wasn't for what the ride should have been. The ride never existed. But they think that, oh, you're just disputing the charge, not the fact that the ride never happened.
Right. I mean, I'm disputing both, actually.
There seems to be confusion because when you have issues with like Uber Eats or anything like that, there's different things that they like make you press and jump through hoops to get you into the right complaint form. And it seems like for whatever reason, you ended up in the, hey, this was too much, which is not what you're arguing. You're arguing this never even happened in the first place, which I think is a whole different, because I've had issues where I ordered something on Uber Eats and the person will drive to my house but click delivered and keep driving. And then they're like, well, what's the issue? And I said, well, I never got anything. I don't have any food here. Yeah. And now I'm stuck out the money that I paid for it.
It does feel like it's tough. I mean, the gentleman this morning, Chew, in the car was telling me that he has heard that Uber wants to go to an hourly rate for some cities, places that have heavy traffic, places where drivers have a tough time getting to and from requested rides or, you know, places where, and so they would be paid for their time sitting in traffic. And he even said, how is Uber going to guard against somebody just turning their meter on and then just driving around, running their own errands, doing their own thing, and then just declining rides under the guise that they are on a ride or something like that. So I found that interesting as well. Hey, listen, you might be right. Maybe I got to find a different spot to complain about this specific complaint, but this is where they directed me. So that's the thing. As soon as I, like I said, like problem with the ride, and then you go through a few things and it's like, is it this? Is it this? Is it this? No, it's something else. Something else. Okay. Is it this? Is it this? Is it this? No, it's something else. You would think there would be a prompt for driver never showed up.
I think you just need to talk to a human.
Well, good luck. Come on, Gabe. That's a silly question.
Well, it seems like if they've ghosted her at this point, the machine's not talking to her, Josh.
What you're going to have to do is go through the machine until you create enough of a stink that someone, actual person, does. Because a lot of those chats will start with an automated sort of AI-like responses that are all like handcrafted to say certain things. And then you go up the chain of command enough to where it's like, hey, person, I need this fixed. I mean, you do have the option of disputing it with your credit card company, but I don't think you need to go that far yet. But if you continue to have issues, that's the next step.
I got folks weighing in on the Carbless talking text line this morning, and we got some good stuff already. Jen, you are talking to a chatbot. Ask them to put you in contact with a human customer service representative. Certainly would like to do that, Chris. I will probably be tackling this during every break of Jen, Gabe, and Chewy this morning, so I can keep you along for the ride if you'd like. Chef Ed says, Jen, the guys are right. Your son has to learn that sometimes life sucks. As for Uber, they are 10% in the wrong, and you will eventually, although they are 100%, it wrapped around. The one and the zero were on one line, and the other zero was on the other. They are 100% in the wrong. You will get reimbursed. And then someone said, Dave from Aaron said, Jen, who is king of the castle? Sounds like Chase.
Does sound like it. Oh, what you need? Don't want to disturb. Don't want to disturb the king of the castle. Don't ask him for the favor.
You know what you need? We have a guy down here who's retired, who's up at 4 a.m, and we can call him whenever we want. And he'll come pick us up. Works for himself. There's got to be those kind of guys where you can just bypass Uber. Because I hear in our experiences, pre-ordering an Uber works probably about 50% of the time.
You know why I know something? I think I am on about that rate, Chew. I think about 50% of the time when I order an Uber ahead of time, it works. And I'm wondering if this gentleman found a loophole where you sign up for a scheduled ride and then you just blow it off. But you still get the money, and Uber doesn't pluck it out of their paycheck, doesn't pluck it out of their bank account. It just sort of eats it. I wonder if this, if there's a loophole here that people have found and are taking advantage of.
Chewy, how did you find this guy? Is it just like a word of mouth, like a friend of a friend of a friend has a business card? How did you find the guy that just gives you a ride everywhere in Florida now?
The bar.
As I say, you've never had this experience where you're somewhere or you end up meeting somebody who, because Uber takes a cut, you have a nice conversation with them and they go, well, you could just call me directly and we'll negotiate prices.
I've seen that with like when you go on a trip or whatever and you've got like the Uber guy who picks you up from the airport and is like, hey, if you want, cut out the Uber. But it seems like this guy's cut out Uber completely. Doesn't even
just a new neighbor guy.
Yeah, but I mean,
he's got
an introduction because you ordered the Uber in the first place. I want to know how Chewy got this intro in the first place.
Yeah, he's got a great. Well, our other guy died, and he used to work for him, so he took over his business. So, and he's cheaper than Uber, very reliable. I mean, I feel bad because he'll come pick us up at 4 a.m. for a 6 o'clock flight.
Yeah, but that's his business, right?
No, I know, and he's got a great book of business, and we refer people to him. But his business is so full, sometimes he can't take them, so he puts them on a list. It's just a great way, and he's reliable as ever. It's a good way to do it.
ESPN Milwaukee, Shane weighing in on the private talking text chain saying, Jen, you should have called your friends at Accutrans. 1,000,000% correct. Should have called my friends at Accutrans to take me to work this morning. Now, again, that's not even in my mindset, really. Like, when I think of Accutrans, I think of, like, O'Hare to home, Lambo to home. You know, I'm not thinking, like, can you zip me over to the 3rd Street Market in the morning while my car is in the shop? I appreciate that. As a suggestion, I will definitely lock that up going forward. Let's put it on the Jen, Gabe, and Chewy Twitter poll this morning. Will I get my $47 back, or do I just have to eat it as a part of the lesson? Gabe says the lesson is inconvenience your kid. What are we doing? You know, it's great to be cool, Mom, but now you had an Uber incident because you didn't want to ask your child if you could take your car back for the day. Yeah, which, by the way, is just going to sit in the parking lot at the high school all day.
That's the thing. Like, you don't have to, and you're, again, you're now approaching this wrong. You don't have to ask. It's your car. It's not his car. It is, that car belongs to you. His name on the title?
Nope.
I didn't think so. That's your car.
Well, you give them the choice, like I said.
Yeah.
You can either.
It's a great negotiation.
You can either do this. Yeah.
either I get your car, which is my car, or you can just drive me to work in the morning.
Yeah, I chickened out. Definitely chickened out. I was like, he thinks I'm cool right now. I don't want to like mess with that, you know? So anyway, 800-990-3776.
Sure. Something else will come out to mess
with it. That is the Car Bliss Talking text line. We got a lot of stuff to get to this morning. Jason Wilde is going to join the show in just a moment. We'll talk about the Packers and how close they are to the Eagles, how close they are to being a Super Bowl team. Man, there was a lot of conversation yesterday about Cooper DeJean and the Packers draft and how Goody has done. That was a mess on social yesterday, and I don't know that we'll want to dip our toes in that water. Plus, Devontae and Aaron Rodgers. New information about Devontae Adams' future. We'll dive into that as Jen, Gabe, and Chewy rolls on.
Ready, down, put.
All Packers, all the time.
He was a field-tilting player, and the reason why Gabe and many others are so concerned is that this guy's on the field. He changes the offensive dynamic. They are a different offense when he is there.
Okay, most of the time.
You know, Homer calls Matt LaFleur soft all the time. Matt LaFleur is like Vince Lombardi compared to me.
It's Jason Wilde on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Reaction rolling in this morning about my decision to take an Uber to work this morning as opposed to, you know, the other car that I own that my son took to school this morning. And I'm reading it all, folks. I am reading it all. I do appreciate the folks who have offered to drive me. My friend Shem, who lives down the street, has offered to drive me if this ever happens again. I also have another gentleman on the ESPN Milwaukee Talking text line who has offered to drive me. Jason, thank you for the offer. Jason Wilde would drive me as well, I guarantee, if I asked him. Jason, you're just that kind of guy, right?
Yeah, you're welcome for the offer. I used my pseudonym to text in.
Yeah.
So I am new to the Uber game. I had not used it since 2017 after the 2016 NFC Championship game in Atlanta. So I used it a couple times in Minneapolis, so Paul and the girls would have the car, and I didn't have to find parking before Packers-Vikings. But Sydney had a volleyball tournament in Mequon at the facility, Travis Diener's place, and Maddie was competing in a gymnastics meet on the opposite side of Milwaukee and Franklin. And so they took the car, and Sydney and I had to get an Uber to go from Mequon to Franklin. And it was a great, great experience. I could not have been happier as opposed to you this morning. But it is a fascinating, for someone who doesn't use it very often, it is still, when you pause to think about it, random people using their vehicles in a taxi manner, I still can't believe how successful it is, because it is a weird world and I'm still adjusting to it. But it certainly saved us, because we got there in time to see Maddie's last two events, and I got to hang out with Travis Diener while I waited for my ride, so it worked out pretty well.
Yeah, it sounds like a win-win, Jason.
As opposed to yours.
I will continue to update everybody on if I hear back from the old customer service at Uber. Don't hold your breath. News yesterday, Adam Schefter talking about how Rodgers, of course, will not be in New York. But Adam thinks that wherever Rodgers lands, he thinks Devontae Adams will go with him. Do you subscribe to that belief as well?
Yeah, especially if Rodgers is coming back to Green Bay to back up Jordan Love. Look, Adam is far more plugged in than me, so I would not dispute whatever theory he has. That said, like, it sure looks to me, unless this is all some sort of big ruse to entertain himself, which I just don't think it is, and I've exchanged messages with him a few times about this, like, I think Devontae Adams wants to come home. I think he thinks Jordan Love has turned out to be better than he looked like he was going to be when he left, and he's looking for a place where he can land that it will be a good fit. I don't think he's married to the idea of going wherever Aaron Rodgers goes. I think he has to do what's best for Devontae and for burnishing his Pro Football Hall of Fame resume. And if that happens to be wherever Rogers lands, great. And if it's not, I think that's okay too. I can't say for certain what exactly that relationship is. Like, I don't think it's like Jordy to Electric Boogaloo. Like, I don't think it's the same type of on-field and off-the-field relationship. You know, there were some rumblings when Devontae got traded that he wanted to kind of show that he could do it without Rodgers. So, obviously, he was in a bad situation in Vegas. Both he and Rodgers and Woody Johnson thought that it would be magic if they were reunited like Peaches and Herb. It did not turn out that way. So I'm not saying that they won't end up in the same place, but I personally don't believe it's as clear cut as that idea might be.
Jason, what are some big dates coming up that we need to look for?
Well, my birthday's Saturday, so you need to look for that. Valentine's Day is Friday, so make sure, Lord knows I know how much trouble you can get into with your wife getting on the wrong side of her, so make sure you're aware of that.
Thank you.
Free agency opens a month from yesterday, so March 10th. So that's your first big date. The scouting combine is at the end of the month. That's obviously a big date. Although, you know, for me, from a reporter's standpoint, that used to be, it used to be the kickoff to the new season, right? I mean, that was really where everyone was, and it was like a carnival, basically, right? All the agents, all the coaches, all the assistant coaches, all the GMs, they were all there, and all the media, frankly. And I think I went to that 20 years in a row, 21 years in a row. And now, not only do I not go, but Matt LaFleur doesn't go. And his coaching staff doesn't go. And a bunch of other head coaches and their coaching staffs don't go, which I still don't understand. Like, this, whatever they are now, $11 billion business or whatever the NFL is, I still can't believe that coaches don't go to the combine, because you never know what information you're going to glean by being there. But then it's the opening of free agency. Then the NFL meetings are in mid to late March. And then obviously the off-season program begins April 15th-ish. And then we're back to rolling into the 2025 season.
Jason, after seeing how everything played out with the Super Bowl, the Eagles run to get that championship, the way they dominated both Washington and Kansas City, how close do you think the Packers actually are to a Super Bowl?
Are you doing the transitive property thing?
I am not. No, because Jason, okay. I am not there. Like, I look at it's, to me, it's all matchup dependent for me. Like, yes, the Packers played the Eagles close, but also Jalen Hurts hadn't played in like 3 weeks, was rusty, and then got better as the playoffs went along, right? As he played more, got better as everything went. But to me, my biggest takeaway from this is the Packers could easily be the Washington Commanders in that if they would have been the sixth seed and then played Philadelphia in the NFC Championship game, everybody would be in love with the Packers. Instead, they stumble down the stretch, get the seventh seed, and everybody's kind of wringing their hands about what this team is and isn't.
Yeah, that's outstanding. I mean, I feel a little bit like Mike Holmgren when... Remember Dave Benz, Chewy? He was at Fox 11. He was kind of a wacky local TV guy. And I'll never forget... First of all, he asked before the Super Bowl, the week before you guys left, "Coach, you got to wear your greens?" And then my other favorite was... And look, who am I to judge long-winded questions, obviously, right? But he asked one that even I would have thought, oh my gosh, this is really long. And when he got to the end of it, Mike Holmgren said, "Dave, you just asked me three questions and answered two of them yourself. What do you want me to say?" Gabe, you just delivered brilliant analysis. What do you want me to say? I mean, you're right about everything you said there. And I do think that perception does matter. And what you hit on there, like, I still think the Packers, especially with how well their defense played, and looking at what the Eagles did in the Super Bowl as a template, and I don't think this is prisoner of the moment of, the Eagles won the Super Bowl, we saw replicate what the Eagles did. But I do think that the Eagles provide a pretty good template that the Packers are capable of following to make the next jump to where they want to be, which would be getting into an NFC championship game and having a chance to have a chance to play in the Super Bowl. But when I look at the Packers, you know, I thought that there were some lessons that they could take from that game. And I gave that list to Tausch yesterday, and he was,
He wasn't a big fan. I mean, he liked some of it, but he really went after you about the hitting low, low budget free agents.
Yeah, which irritated me because he's like a huge Goody stan, and I had evidence that Goody has done that before, right? I mean,
yep.
Plucking Rasul Douglas off the Cardinals practice squad, and for whatever Devondre Campbell became, the year that they signed him in June for him to become a first-team All-Pro, that was Zach Bond-esque, right?
Yeah.
And so you don't always have to sign Xavier McKinney and Josh Jacobs. Although, again, the Eagles signed Saquon Barkley, so obviously they did that too. But if you hit on one of those inexpensive guys who really helps you, that's part of it. But to me, the biggest thing that we saw, and we've talked about this with those two Giants teams that won Super Bowls, and now we're talking about it with what the Eagles were able to do, Jeff Hafley could not win sending his front four rushers. They were not good enough. They were not skilled enough in the new system. Whatever you want to call it, they did not get home with four very often. And the Eagles spent the entire Super Bowl afternoon in the Chiefs' backfield harassing Patrick, as he was called by the analysts for the game, repeatedly. And if the Packers can figure out that piece of it, I just feel like it opens up a world of possibilities for them defensively, that I thought Jeff Hafley did a fantastic job given the fact that his front four wasn't very good and they still were a top 10 defense. So
but
I think it's that. Go ahead, Chu.
But Jason, a little more context here. I mean, everyone talks about how much cap space the Packers have. There's relevant teams in front of them that have more cap space. Washington, Chicago, Minnesota, Detroit, San Francisco. So I mean, these teams are going to be looking for a Max Crosby and a Miles Garrett. And it's not like, we got the pick of the litter here. Goody's got to hit this thing right in order for them to get better.
Right. And Chewy, what I would argue is that you don't necessarily have to get better by trading for Max Crosby or Miles Garrett or Trey Hendrickson. You paid Rashawn Gary like he's one of those players.
Yeah.
He damn well needs to play like that.
Mm-hmm.
And what do you need to do to get him there? You know, I think it's concerning that he had a worse year, an extra year removed from his ACL tear than he had in the season immediately following his ACL tear, right? I mean, that, I don't know what to make of that, because usually it's the opposite. Is Kenny Clark, who spent his entire life in a 3-4 until last year, is something going to click for him? Is LVN going to play like the 13th overall pick? Those are all big ifs. And if you augment that with somebody who can come in and play well right away, great. But again, I think Josh Sweat is a free agent from the Eagles. I'm not saying to go pay him bonko dollars so you have a guy that was part of that wrecking crew up front for the Eagles in the Super Bowl. I'm just saying, however you do it, right? If Brenton Cox Jr. comes out of nowhere, because we did see flashes from him, and he's like the new Kabir without the crazy religious stuff, maybe then you're able to get this done. My point is simply that there's a roadmap to being yourself still, but also being more adept in some areas where you were deficient. The other one that I brought up to Tausch, and I think it was the only one that he actually acknowledged was a good one, was they got to get more out of Love with his legs. 83 total rushing yards, even with the injuries he had, he was not a threat to opposing defenses. And I remember going all the way back to like Ed Donatell, and getting the Packers getting so frustrated by Dante Culpepper on 3rd and 11, and you got Randy Moss covered, and then he takes off and runs for 14 yards. And that is devastating to defenses. How many times did Jordan Love do that?
Mm-hmm.
Not very many. Mm-hmm. So those are all, I think these are all attainable goals for the 25 team that will make them a better team.
Jason, good stuff. We appreciate you. Have a good one, and we'll talk to you again soon.
All right, my Uber's here. I got to go. Take care. Be good.
He's Jason Wilde. Listen to him on Wilde and Tausch right after Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Okay, he brings something up that I think is interesting. Do the deficiencies on the defensive line have more to do with the players underperforming or Goody missing at those spots? I want to dive into that right after this on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Stick around.
Guys, I'm telling you, if you're making plans to propose to that special someone in your life, the Jewelry Center is the only place to go for the ring. They're the best place to shop for diamond engagement rings in Milwaukee for a reason. It's what I did. Didn't know that what my now wife exactly wanted, but I had some ideas. If you have no idea, maybe go to our Pinterest board. Bring those in. Because to me, what separates the Jewelry Center from everybody else, the helpful team that they have assembled, whether you go to Brookfield, Greenfield, or in Burlington, and then they're going to point you in the right direction. Whether you're looking for lab-grown diamonds, naturally mined diamonds, whatever you are in the market for when it comes to an engagement ring, the Jewelry Center has it. Check out the inventory. ShopTJC.com. Stop in at any one of their three locations. And when you head to the Jewelry Center, tell them that Gabe and Chew sent you.
You are listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Any of those things, because it's like, I'm sorry, I'm burping up my apple right there. That's what that was. I wasn't pausing for effect. I literally was burping
my apple.
All right,
can we just go to break?
No.
On 94.5 ESPN.
If you missed any of our conversation with Jason Wilde, you can find it on Wisconsin On Demand or wherever you get your podcasts on the Jen, Gabe, and Chewy podcast. So we were talking about the defensive line because that really was the difference between winning and losing that game. I mean, obviously, the Eagles played well, but they played the best on the defensive line, getting pressure on Patrick Mahomes, making him uncomfortable every single snap, it seemed. So we're trying to figure out how close the Packers' defensive line is to being able to get pressure with four, being able to be a game wrecker, a game changer. And, Chew, when you look at the pieces that Jeff Hafley has, that Brian Gutekunst has amassed, is it more about the players not playing up to their potential, or is it more about Goody actually missing on some of those guys?
A little column A, column B. I mean, Gabe, Rashawn Gary's never had double-digit sacks, right?
Correct.
So is that a miss? Is that two misses? Is that a miss drafting him and then a miss re-signing him? Because it certainly feels that way.
Yeah, because you knew he was a project when you signed him, right? And then he starts building up. He gets towards the end. Okay, we think he's about to explode. We're going to pay for that. Has the injury. And now the last 2 years hasn't lived up at all to that contract. Yeah, two swings and a miss. Yeah.
Is he going into his seventh year or sixth year?
Rashawn?
Yeah. Because you know what a player is most times by their fourth year. You know what he is.
He is going to his seventh.
So going into your seventh year, you don't all of a sudden be great. You become great. Actually, you're kind of coming back down. You're making the turn.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he's not going to get better. And then Lucas Van Ness just seems to be a miss right now. Swing and a miss. Swing and a miss. I mean, when you're getting blocked by a tight end and you're a D lineman, that ain't good.
I think
Kenny Clark could be a miss from the standpoint he's not the player he once was. He's getting old. That's a lot of pounding through all the years he's played, and you just slow down.
Well, and some of these other guys, and again, we've talked about this, how you fill out certain positions, certain units. Some of these guys were never expected to be superstars.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think you have a Kingsley Engabare, and you're like, oh, he's going to be, you know, the next Reggie White. Like, no, you have moderate expectations, but I don't even know if those guys, like him and a Brenton Cox, I'm not even sure that they played up to the expectations that you have. If you want that defensive line to be a game-changing unit, if you believe that they are going to be the path to having success like the Eagles did. So across the board then, did everyone just underperform? Like, that to me then feels like it might be a cultural thing. Go ahead, Joshy.
That's what PFF would tell you. Basically across the board, everybody on the defense that is like a retained player got worse. The Packers' defense looked better largely in part because Edrin Cooper was never there and made an immediate impact. Quay Walker did improve a little bit, and then obviously Xavier McKinney. But if you look at all the guys that have played for the Packers, they were either the same or worse in many positions. And like Kenny Clark was worse, Rashawn Gary was worse, Jair Alexander barely played. Like that, it is impressive that they seem to look better on defense despite not seeing really growth or even what we expectations being met for many of those guys.
Yeah, I think it's a lack of talent.
I'm sick of the excuses. Oh, geez, I'm crow. Kenny Clark's whole career, well, he's getting double teamed. That's why he's not an all-pro. All right, great. You know, Rashawn Gary, well, he tore his ACL the year before. So, like Jason said, he had a worse year this year than that year. Hold players accountable. That's all we're asking.
Aren't we doing that? Right.
Isn't that what we're doing right now?
No, I'm saying we are. But the fans just like, you know, well, he's a nice guy. No, who cares? Bring me an a-hole. As long as he can play football and disrupt the quarterback and get there, you know. Just stop making excuses. You with me or no?
Well, we have Brizzle weighing in on the YouTube stream, and Brizzle says that's why the D-line coach is no longer there, because the unit underperformed pretty much across the board.
But
is that enough?
Fault.
Well, that's what I was just going to ask you, Chase. Yeah. Or Chase. Ha!
No, I'm not driving you to work.
And Chewy, he's not giving you his car either.
Chew yes. And Chase with the C and the H and the always having to keep you in line. Like, there's a lot of similarities here, all right?
You got a point.
All right. My client can teach the point.
Is it enough to fire the defensive line coach and expect the people, the players that you have in there, to somehow miraculously get better, miraculously improve from this year to next year? Or is it going to require going out and getting a bona fide game changer like a Max Crosby, like a Myles Garrett, some of these players? People keep bringing up Hendrickson as well. Is it going to require bringing somebody like that in to infuse that unit with, hey, you aren't good enough, you haven't been good enough, you haven't shown us that you can be good enough, so we are bringing this player in here to basically supplement where you guys have been deficient?
Yes, that's what they need. And maybe it makes them better. I don't think it does. It could help. I mean, Rashawn Gary is, like I said, he is what he is. All right, let me ask you this. If he goes into next year and has another 6.5 sacks, 7 sacks, you got to get rid of him.
Yeah, and next year, too, I think that's when they can kind of get out of the contract, is after this upcoming season. And if he does not reach double-digit sacks, I am guessing the Packers go to him and say, hey, if you want to play here, you got to take a pay cut. It's up to him. If he says no, then he's gone.
Now, I like these linebackers they had last year, you know, that I'm saying the new crop.
Yes.
But you know who we liked in his first year? Quay Walker. We loved him. I thought he'd be Defensive Player of the Year at some point in time.
Really?
He did.
You want to talk about misses? That's a swing and a miss.
Huh. On you.
What's Mr. Hunt doing over there? You saying I don't admit
after
my mistakes?
After he was shoving training personnel, you're like, this is the guy?
I cooled on him. I put a few ice cubes in my drink. But they, yeah, I mean...
With Quay Walker,
you need superstars in order to win.
Okay, so when you say you need superstars in order to win, to me, that is, if I had to go on one side of the fence or the other, that is Goody.
Yes.
That is Goody missing on quote-unquote superstars. Overthinking it, thinking you got diamonds in the rough that are just going to need a little bit of nurturing or just going to need a little bit of the right environment, but then they will blossom. But we haven't seen that yet. I do like this statement from Don in the 262. He says, the Packers have players you build around with. They don't have any of the players you build around.
Mm-hmm.
It's a subtle nuance, but I think it absolutely accurately articulates the issue in that unit specifically.
Well, Goody, I think, has done, you look around, and there are a couple of players, certainly, like Edrin Cooper, I think we all think, you know, has that potential to be a star. But he's done a really good job of drafting B players. Like, good players, like players you need to have on your roster, but they just don't take that next step to that A player.
Let me, because they had an A player. And let me ask you guys this, okay? They had an A player in Jair. Who do you blame? Do you blame Goody for re-signing him? Do you blame LaFleur for not managing him? Or do you blame Jair?
So I think that Jair's issues were Joe Barry related. And so by extension, wouldn't you blame LaFleur for holding on to Joe Barry maybe a year too long? Because don't we think that that was sort of the issue with Jair and the defensive coordinator? Didn't get along, didn't like the way he was being used in the scheme. And he, I don't think I'm creating this in my brain, had conversations about those frustrations and felt like they were falling on deaf ears.
But I played with Sterling was unmanageable. He was unmanageable. He was doing it his way. If he didn't want to practice, he didn't care what the training staff said. He wasn't practicing.
Mm-hmm.
He was doing it his way. And there's a clip. I don't know if you guys ever saw this on NFL Network, and it's kind of funny, where Holmgren brought Gruden over because Gruden was the receivers coach at the time, and Holmgren pulled him over in the middle of the game and said to Gruden, I want you to go over there and rip his ass right now in front of him. So Gruden walks over to the bench with his back to Holmgren, and he goes, I have to yell at you. Mike told me that I have to yell at you right now, so just take it. And he pseudo-yelled at him. That's unmanageable. Jair is unmanageable.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah,
so I don't know whose fault that is.
I lean towards that just being lack of professionalism. Right, like what? There are expectations. You're not going to be happy with every coach. You're not going to be happy with every situation. The guy made himself a captain, almost did it wrong and cost the Packers a possession, and then won't play unless he feels he's nearly 100%. Like, to a certain extent, as Chewy said, we have to hold these guys accountable despite their situation. Kenny Clark showed up and played. I'm sure he wasn't fond of what Joe Barry was doing. There's plenty of guys on that defense that probably thought, we could be doing this a lot better. But they still went out there, and Jair cost himself money. He's now going to be viewed less than what he should be because he won't play, and he's seen as a malcontent from a lot of people.
So hindsight being 20/20, we should have kept Rasul and shipped Jair off.
Oh, for sure. Well, I agree with the keeping of Rasul, but...
Yeah, I mean, I would say keeping Rasul, but Chewy, you were just talking about how you want an a-hole. You don't care as long as they make plays. That's what they did with Jair. They rolled the dice. And I think I think they were willing to deal with the a-hole part.
Yeah.
But he just wasn't ever healthy enough. Like, he wasn't willing to go out there when he's less than 100%.
Was he?
Well, he didn't play. At the end of the day, he didn't play.
I do not want to play with guys that have to play at 100%. Call me old school, call me whatever. I don't want to play with them. I don't want them on my roster. And Goody should know that.
I don't think the Packers want that either. I don't think they've really made any bones about the unhappiness with that approach.
Yeah.
And honestly, when he signed that contract, I don't think there was an indication that that's who he was.
No.
That kind of came up the last couple of years after he got paid.
Right, and that's why I keep going back to, and Joshy, I agree with you 100%. You got to be professional. There are going to be coaches you don't like. There are going to be teammates you don't like. There are going to be colleagues you don't like. You still have a responsibility to go out there and do your job, because at the end of the day, that's what you're going to be judged on.
Right.
And so if people are judging Jair on some of those behaviors that seem to have stemmed from him feeling like he wasn't being heard, that's on him still. You got to still handle it in a professional manner. I do want to put it on the poll. The defensive deficiencies, specifically the defensive line, who do you blame more? Goody for missing on the picks or the guys for underperforming? Let us know on the Jen, Gabe, and Chewy Twitter account, or let us know on the Carbless Talk and Text line, 800-990-3776. Hey, all you sports bettors, if you aren't making your wagers at Pottawatomie Casino Hotel Milwaukee, let me tell you, you are missing out on an elite experience. It's a complete sports betting paradise. The state-of-the-art venue has a dozen self-service betting kiosks, seating for more than 200 people, a first-class bar and restaurant, a VIP deck, and of course the broadcast booth where we do weekly wager each and every Wednesday from 6 to 7 p.m. And the star of the show, the giant video wall, more than 2,000 square feet big. If you're short on time, they have free 20-minute parking as well. They have really figured it all out. What a scene it was out at Pottawatomie on Sunday for the big game. My goodness, it was packed to the gills. People were excited. It was such a vibe. I've never seen it like that, and I can only imagine it will continue to grow as the Pottawatomie Sportsbook continues to thrive. Bet above the rest, only at Pottawatomie.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
You can just save yourself so much time by going, okay, we like this guy, this guy, this guy. Let's take a look at all the different things he did at the combine. I just hit my phone, and now my hand is just tingling.
What is with you two today? Jesus. Do you know how to function?
I just like...
On 94.5 ESPN. Jen, Gabe, and Chewy continues next on 94.5 ESPN.
Ryan from Maguanago says, I blame Goody and the scouting team. We don't know that the players are underperforming. They might be overvalued. They may only be as good as we have seen. Dumpy in West Bend says, you got to blame the coaches if they can't tell who the bums are and ship them out in the same way. If the radio show hosts aren't any good, it's always Ashy's fault. Chewy, you subscribe to that as well,
Chewy's
right?
Still here.
Oh, yes. Yes.
It's always totally. Ashy's fault. No matter what. If I say a curse word on the radio, Ashy's fault.
And what we do with him? We got rid of him.
Sent him packing.
Yeah.
What, is he, we brought in he's Josh. Failing up?
Yeah, he climbed the corporate ladder.
Yeah, that's still getting rid of him, though.
That's also not uncommon in professional world. Just look around.
Hey, good. Very good point.
Not saying that of Ashton specifically, but...
It's kind of felt like you were, and now you're backtracked. You know,
we've all seen the person climb the ladder, and everyone look around and go, why are they there? Not saying that about Ashton, to be clear.
It kind of felt like you are. Kind of feels like it.
We put it on the Jen Gabe and Chewy Twitter poll. Go ahead and weigh in on that. Steve says the majority of the blame has to go to Goody. He constantly reaches with these picks looking for some diamond in the rough when most times he has football players staring him right in the face. Cooper DeJean is an example. Also TJ Watt. That should be a rule. Trust the draft board. If there's a football player there, take him. I don't care what the position is.
Okay, so TJ Watt, that's not Goody. That goes back to Ted.
Yeah.
So, you know, we can let that one go. Look, Cooper DeJean was pretty good this year, but also didn't have an interception to the Super Bowl. Like, he was good. Like, don't get me wrong. Like, I think he would look good in the Packers uniform. I'm also not writing off Jordan Morgan. Like, because the other thing that you should have learned from the Packers' loss in the playoff game and then what happened to the Kansas City Chiefs in the Super Bowl, you need a good offensive line to protect your quarterback. Like, Jordan Morgan was one of these six guys that the Packers trusted until he got hurt. He is... coming off of a rookie deal, like, he very well could be worth that first-round pick. So I am not writing off Jordan Morgan and saying that that was a mistake taking him instead of Cooper DeJean at this
point. Yeah, but if you could do it right now, who would you take?
Yeah, but I'll wait, you know, until they're done with their deals.
I would take Jordan Morgan plus Evan Williams, who played just as good, if not better.
I'm taking
that's DeJean the way I would do it.
All day long, and twice on Tuesdays.
I mean, that's fine.
Why Tuesdays?
It's not Mondays.
I feel we that was a shot at me.
Saw that yesterday. I love that Chewy's like, you know why I'm not sharp? I got these rocks. Got to move these rocks. In fact, I want to hear about the rocks after this on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Stick around.
The rocks are cooking.